You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
No soap or loo rolls on the shelf. We need to isolate ourselves. That's what we've all been told to do. Stay indoors, save a few. That's what I want you to do. Morris has said repeatedly, keep 2 meters between you and me. Stay home and save the NHS. We'll all end up in a mess. Go to Cornwall or Inverness. Just wash your hands and your thoughts, scrub your nails, put on sanitizer too. Wear rubber gloves when you open the door. Another suggestion for you, to save your health and the air that's around you. We'll be safer, that's my plea. So don't help yourself. Have done what I would do. We might have got out in a month or two, but now we've been put on lockdown, and that really makes me frown because of all you stupid clowns. Just wash your hands and your thumbs, scrub your nails.
I've got to say, there are some exceptionally talented people out there. If you ask me, the lyrics to that are better than the original. Anyway, you are listening to Sean Paul Day on London Taxi Radio. Let's get cracking. Okay, for those that are interested, coronavirus is spreading rapidly in the UK and the government has implemented measures to minimise its spread. Without drastic measures, which could be in place for weeks, if not months, it is feared that more than 250 people would die. Just to recap on all the steps we should be taking, all members of the public should reduce the time they spend with others. Everyone should stop non-essential contact with others. This is particularly important for people over 70, those with underlying health conditions, and pregnant women. Cafes, pubs, and restaurants have all been closed for over a week, except for takeaway food. People should stop all unnecessary travel. Those most at risk, about 1.5 million who've had organ transplants, have severe respiratory conditions or some cancers, should not go out for at least 12 weeks and will be given essential supplies if they don't have the support system of their own. Everyone should continue to regularly wash their hands and avoid contacting the NHS unless it is essential. The strongest warnings are in place for people who are ill and the people close to them. Everyone with a fever or persistent cough should stay at home for 7 days. Anyone who lives with someone displaying coronavirus symptoms should also stay at home for 14 days. How has the UK strategy changed? Well, the government's thinking has changed quite quickly. It started off trying to contain coronavirus by isolating people who tested positive and asking anyone who had close contact with them to self-isolate also. Ministers then introduced policies to delay and reduce the peak. The idea was that pushing it back to the summer would allow the NHS to cope. But modelling from the Imperial College London prompted a change in approach. It warned that the policy of a managed spread could lead to more than 250,000 deaths, with hospital intensive care units getting overwhelmed. Ministers are now trying to suppress the spread completely. They hope this will keep deaths below 20,000. How long could the restrictions be in place? We are in uncharted territory, aren't we? So it is impossible to tell. However, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has suggested that we could turn the tide within the next 12 weeks. The problem with trying to suppress the virus is that as soon as you lift those measures, the fear of it is it could return quite quickly. One option from experts advises the government to go through a cycle of lifting and reapplying restrictions, using demand on intensive care as a guide. So in effect, the scenario could go on continually, as opposed to continuously, with intermittent breaks. There will be close attention paid to China, which is now looking at how to lift restrictions. It is not realistic to think that you could temporarily break the spread of coronavirus and it will just go away. Then you have to consider the social and economic factors at play. Businesses are going to struggle and people are going to lose their jobs. And it begs the question, how long are the public going to put up with being told they cannot go out, no longer watch sport or go to festivals? It most definitely leaves the government with some very difficult decisions to make. How will the NHS treat seriously ill patients? Currently, there is no treatment or cure, so hospitals are trying to relieve the symptoms. Specialist breathing equipment is at 5 units for patients whose lungs fail. NHS officials say they can effectively increase intensive care beds from 5,000 to 12,000 by using ventilators reserved for planned surgery and those available in the private sector. Ministers are also working with private companies to ramp up production. Evidence from China and Italy suggests a third of patients who need hospital care require intensive care support. And forebodingly, doctors have warned that some difficult decisions may need to be made about which patients get treated.
If this station's not your cup of tea,
then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% music.
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guaranteed.
Thought you might say that.
London Taxi Radio, the cabby's choice.
New self-employed financial help announced by the government last week has been welcomed by taxi drivers, but a lot of cabbies are worried about cash flows and covering business costs. In the latest move to protect all self-employed workers, including thousands of taxi drivers, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, announced plans last week that will see sole traders receive up to £2,500 per month in grants for at least 3 months. Those eligible will receive a taxable grant worth 80% of their average monthly profit, calculated from tax returns over the last 3 years. The move was welcomed by the majority of those working in the taxi industry. However, there were some remaining concerns raised. Wes Streeting, Labour MP and Chair for the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Taxes, expressed concerns over the delay faced by self-employed workers to receive the grant, which will see taxi drivers having to wait until June for the payment. Streeting tweeted, "The support for the self-employed announced by the Chancellor is less generous than hoped, but more generous than feared. The real concern now is for people who can't afford to wait for the help to arrive. Lots of those on low and middle incomes face an immediate cash flow crisis." He went on to say, "There are going to be a lot of self-employed people left in financial hardship even after this announcement. Those who don't have money to last till June. Those who became self-employed more recently than the cut-off date. And those earning over £50,000 per year with little or no savings. Already I am receiving messages from people not covered by this scheme and facing real hardship. I honestly think a basic income with clawback through the tax system would have been a more efficient way of helping people. The Treasury and DWP are obsessed with complexity." Steve McNamara, General Secretary of the Licensed Taxi Drivers Association, said Sunak advised him that he and the Prime Minister were very aware of the dire financial circumstances that many cabbies currently find themselves in. In a phone call with the Chancellor, Steve McNamara claimed that he was amazingly candid about the complexity of designing a single solution for the many different trades and businesses that make up the self-employed. Apparently, Sunak also said that he respected and admired our trade, what we do, and all the efforts and offers of help during the current crisis. Tim Roach, GMB's General Secretary, also commented that millions of self-employed workers will sleep easier at night. Food, rent, utilities aren't cheaper if you're self-employed, and for many workers dried up, so it's right and welcome that support will now be put in place. Roach said, "When this is all over, we will need to ask how many workers are classed as self-employed genuinely fall into that category. The explosion of fake self-employment has undoubtedly made this much more difficult, and by that I think he's referring to the gig economists. GMB stands ready to work through the detail with the government so people get the clarity and support they need as soon as possible. Next, the government should take action on businesses who are not providing essential services but refuse to do the responsible thing and use government support to close their doors or provide adequate protections to keep their workers safe. The union is arguing if payments are made now, allowing drivers to stay on top of their finances, the focus can be put on them supporting emergency services. Taxi drivers have been urging the government to utilise them to assist transportation of NHS workers, medicine and food during the coronavirus pandemic. But with no financial income, drivers have been left struggling to pull together enough funds to cover their overheads. The union has launched a campaign asking the Prime Minister to consider immediate payment to Hackney carriage drivers. Unite the Union wrote, "Dear Prime Minister, taxi drivers are self-employed. The Chancellor's offer of 80% of earnings up to £2,500 a month to the country's 5 million self-employed workers, giving them pay parity with employees, is very much welcomed. But making them wait until June to be paid is not. We need wage support now. Support us and we can help support the emergency services." The union went on to highlight a number of major factors which they say need addressing to help drivers stay active and ready for immediate deployment if required by the government. The factors were as follows. wage support straight away. No means testing of universal credit or other benefits. Suspending or reducing all taxi-related running costs, including license plate fees, monthly radio fees, rental fees and insurance payments for taxis not on the road. Emergency interim payments to keep the taxi on the road. Reviewing the licensing regime and stop all payments for licenses with a 3-month temporary extension for those expected to renew in the next 12 months. Continuing, the union wrote, "We are fully licensed and DBS checked, clean, safe and wheelchair accessible, equipped with a glass partition separating driver from passenger." Whilst writing letters with recommendations is admirable, it begs the question, doesn't it? How does the trade follow up in getting results?
Coronavirus hysteria gives the excuse to do what they're doing, and the outcome and the consequences of what they're doing is to dismantle the world economic system.
It's nonsense. It's the worst kind of fake news. The reality is that the mobile phone networks are absolutely critical to all of us, particularly in a time when we are asking people to stay at home and to not see relatives and friends. But in particular, those are also the phone networks that are used by our emergency services and our health workers.
Remember what I said at the beginning of this? 5G was rolled out in Wuhan in the autumn of 2019.
It was the test area, wasn't it?
It was the test area.
Yeah.
And this is not in mainstream media.
People are saying that they were eating bats and snakes and then the poison mixed and caused that. What bullshit is that? I mean, do you really believe that? No, I don't. I think it's a man-made thing, guys. It's been put there for a reason, to keep everyone in while they test the 5G.
This Hunger Games society is designed to have no small business, no even medium-sized business, globally, just gigantic corporations that control and produce everything.
So basically, what's happened is the reason for deaths in China, instant deaths, is nothing to do with coronavirus, a lung disease, which would take days, you know, and weeks for you to die. No, they're dying instantly. The reason for that is Wuhan. They turned on the bloody 5G there first. Everyone's dead. All of a sudden, now China, no more deaths. Yeah.
And I'm absolutely outraged, absolutely disgusted. That people would be taking action against the very infrastructure that we need to respond to this health emergency. It is absolute and utter rubbish, and I can't condemn it in stronger terms than that.
The claims about 5G causing coronavirus are also circulating on social media, with many indicating that 5G causes coronavirus by sucking oxygen out of your lungs. It's no surprise, is it, that with the onset of coronavirus, that conspiracy theorists or conspiracy realists, depending on which angle you are coming from, have come out of the woodwork, is it? You could even say that it is a marriage made in heaven. For the sake of this broadcast, I'm not taking a stance either way, but personally, I do err on the side of being a conspiracy doubter. But it doesn't help, does it, that the establishment has been brought out to debunk the idea of a conspiracy, simply because the whole idea of a conspiracy is that the government instills a state of powerlessness amongst regular people. If the government rolls out a health specialist to debunk the idea, then they automatically become part of the conspiracy. Now, there's plenty of psychology out there that looks into why conspiracy theorists exist and why conspiracy theorists believe what they believe. Most conclude that theorists are not just trying to understand a confusing world, but are trying to wield some kind of power over or within it. You could say that it's a kind of Stockholm syndrome in action, but that's only my point of view, of course. But there comes a time when the quirky ideas of moon landings transmute into something altogether more sinister, such as anti-vaxxers, for instance. Now, undoubtedly, 5G poses an elevated security threat, partly because there are more vectors through which adversaries can attack. The challenge is amplified by vertical 5G use cases, such as connected cars and healthcare, which brings critical industry-specific security requirements. But that's not the conspiracy, is it? The conspiracy is that 5G is responsible for the onset of coronavirus 19. And on Friday, shocking footage emerged, showing a huge 5G tower burning to the ground following a suspected arson attack in Birmingham. One local resident who did not want to be named said, "A lot of people don't want 5G in the area. I'm not surprised somebody torched it." A post on Facebook to Stop 5G UK explained, "Wuhan is where 5G was rolled out. What if all we are seeing in Wuhan is the sickness from exposure to excessive 5G radiation and weakened immune systems?" Meanwhile, a video doing the rounds on Facebook and Twitter shows a woman claiming that 5G sucks oxygen out of your lungs. And she goes on to say, "So how long do you think it's going to take the human body to fall over because it suddenly cannot take up oxygen into its cells?" While Wuhan does have some 5G coverage, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever of a link between the network and the virus. And last month, a radiation watchdog confirmed that 5G networks are completely safe. The International Commission on Non-Ionising Radiation Protection, which assesses the risks of radio broadcasts, tested a high-frequency version of 5G, which is coming to Europe. Dr. Erik von Rogen said, We know parts of the community are concerned about the safety of 5G, and we hope the updated guidelines will help put people at ease. The guidelines have been developed through a thorough review of all relevant scientific literature, scientific workshops, and an extensive public consultation process. Meanwhile, researchers have analysed the public genome sequence data for the coronavirus and have found no evidence at all that the virus was man-made. Instead, their analysis suggests that the virus is the product of natural evolution. Dr. Christian Anderson, an author of the study, said, "By comparing the available genome sequence data for known coronavirus strains, we can confirm and determine that COVID-19 originated through natural processes." Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? And I'm inclined to believe them. That is, at least until 6G is released.
Sugar man, won't you hurry? 'Cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to dead black coal. Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, you're the answer that makes my questions disappear. Sugar man, 'cause I'm weary of those double games I hear. Sugar man, sugar man, sugar man, sugar man. Hurry, 'cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to dead black coal. Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane.
Here's a tale of the tape from the news headlines over the weekend. The Observer led with a pledge by the new Labour leader, Keir Starmer, to work with Boris Johnson in the national interest in order to fight the coronavirus outbreak. It says he's agreed to meet with the Prime Minister this week to talk. The Sunday Telegraph says the promise to work together with the government is a change of tone for Labour and signals a break from what it calls the overtly hostile approach of Jeremy Corbyn's regime. But the Sunday Times says that, in also setting out tough criticism of the government's actions, Sir Keir has thrown down the gauntlet to the Prime Minister. It says the government deserves to be chastised for some of its missteps and urges Mr. Johnson to reach out, not only to the Labour leader, but also to Conservatives with more experience than the current cabinet. It says figures such as Jeremy Hunt and the former leaders Lord Hague and Theresa May all have something to offer the government that needs it. The Sunday Express calls the Queen's broadcast historic and will rally the nation in its desperate fight against the pandemic. The Sun on Sunday used the headline Greatest Britons, saying her words paid tribute to the country's strength. According to the Sunday Telegraph, Downing Street hoped that the Queen's intervention would lift the nation's spirits at a time when people are being urged to abide by tough rules limiting their movements. The Mail on Sunday reported that two of the most senior government ministers leading the response into the pandemic are locked in a battle about when to lift the current restrictions. It says the Chancellor Rishi Sunak has made robust arguments to Health Secretary Matt Hancock that the country could suffer lasting damage unless there is a plan for a swift return to normal activity. Mr. Hancock's backers insist he is protecting the NHS. The Observer says there is an open debate in both Whitehall and the scientific community about the best route out of the lockdown measures. The Online Independent says the social care system is at risk of collapse within weeks due to pressure from the coronavirus. It says care providers are complaining that some local councils are failing to release emergency funding they have been given and says firms have been pushed to the brink of closure. The website says concern is growing in Whitehall about the resilience of the system, but many in the sector say they have raised questions and had no response. The Sunday People also warns what it calls a care home time bomb, saying a lack of kit is testing the resilience of the system. The Sunday Mirror says the Conservative government still doesn't know the value of Britain's true heroes. Meanwhile, The Sun on Sunday reported that protection officers for Princess Anne and Prince Andrew and Edward no longer carry guns, but tasers. It says the move is part of a widespread review of security for junior royals, politicians and diplomats. One former protection officer called it nonsensical. What stood out most of all for me there was the debate in Whitehall and the scientific community about a get-out plan. And there does have to be a get-out plan, doesn't there? The question is, where do you draw the balance? You cannot go on decimating the economy indefinitely simply because poverty also kills. And we're not talking about billionaires here. We are talking about small businesses, medium-sized businesses even, individuals. The governor of New York State closed down his state and unwisely said, if everything he is doing saves just one life, then it will be worth it. Now, although this was a soundbite, it was foolish because he is responsible for shutting down people's lives in their entirety and wiping out millions of livelihoods in the process. Now, I'm not an authoritarian here. I'm not an expert, and I don't know when and where to draw the line. But let's face it, crippling people economically for potentially the rest of their lives isn't compassionate either. And my fear is what won't be considered is the aftermath. It's all very well taking care of people while the pandemic is ravaging its way through society, but the recovery period for many people is going to be equally as difficult. And I just hope the government will put substantive provisions in place to help everyone, not least the self-employed, when it is all done and dusted.
Then we follow the four-stage strategy.
What's that?
In stage one, we say nothing is going to happen.
Stage two, we say something may be going to happen, but we should do nothing about it.
In stage three, we say that maybe we should do something about it, but there's nothing we can do.
Stage four, we say maybe there was something we could have done, but it's too late now.
There is a lot of interaction on social media at the moment, as well as in various groups, about whether or not the government should classify taxi drivers as critical workers. Although on the surface this might appear a good idea, I think the best outcome has been to be considered as a critical worker on a case-by-case basis, depending on the passenger at the time. There is no getting away from it. It is a devastating disease that is currently killing about 500 people a day in the UK. And whilst a taxi might be safer than a regular vehicle, it doesn't mean we are completely immune from contracting the virus. And with the devastating news that 5 bus drivers and 5 taxi drivers, and that is a shocking number, have died from the disease, we need to think very, very carefully indeed about our desire to go out there and potentially contract the virus and ultimately spread it to others. Regardless of what we think, it is pretty disgusting of Addison and Lee and Uber to offer their workforce up to offer free fares but ultimately shirk employment laws that would look after their drivers in the event that they got ill. As far as we go, it is about individual choice, and I take my hat off to all those who have offered their services to deliver either essential supplies or carry medics to and from the hospital. But a lot of cab drivers out there have young families, and many live or visit elderly parents. And with the latest advice from TfL that we shouldn't go out unless it is an essential journey, then the best thing to do is to stay indoors, keep fit, and prepare yourselves for when the time comes to go back to work. That is almost it for this week, folks, until Friday when I bring you what the papers say. But if you need to get hold of me, you can by DMing me on Twitter at Sean Paul Day or at London Taxi Radio. You can message me on Facebook, London Taxi Radio, or email me, sean@londontaxiradio.co.uk. Remember to stay safe, keep healthy, and if you need to ask for help, there is no harm in doing so. You will be amazed at how many people are willing to put themselves out. That's it. Be good. And I'll leave you with this little gem from the staff at the NHS.
I can't wait for a year's time when all of this is a distant memory. And there is a corona baby boom because all the lovers were loving. And there is a rise in small businesses because all the entrepreneurs had a moment of stillness and creativity. And all the children remember nothing but a time when all the mums and dads were at home drawing and playing ball games, and we remember it as the time we all got to stop and be present. We will remember the time our health was our first priority and people learnt new ways to use fresh produce to feed their families. We remember the laughter and fun on TikTok, FaceTiming with our friends and family each day, date nights in the house, and home PE workouts with Joe Wicks. A time our real heroes in the NHS urged us to stay at home for the greater good, and our country showing their support by turning Wembley and the Angel of the North blue. And we were all forced to think outside the box and dream up new things and reinvent old ways, and for once, even amongst the chaos, there was community. There was a global rise in togetherness, and as the streets were quiet, our homes were bustling with love and laughter. That time is coming soon, just like any other crisis before it. This will all be a distant memory, a thing we soon listen to our children discuss in classrooms, or once was, that we share with our grandchildren. So to you, I know it's unsettling, but focus on the silver lining. We're all in this together. And there is so much beauty to see.
Broadcasting from a secret location. You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio.